Hello and welcome to Heartland Hypnosis Radio. I'm your host, Ray Lytle, and I've had so much fun talking to everybody. Really, I love to talk about hypnosis. I love it, whether it be stage hypnosis or if you're a clinical hypnotherapist, I'd love to talk about that. I can't wait. I want to have some people on from the metaphysical or spiritual side of hypnosis on soon. Today, though, we're sticking with stage hypnotism. I've had a great run of some stage hypnotists on the program, and today is no exception. This guy, what a great story that Terry Bloom has, and we're going to talk about all of it. He is a stage hypnotist, and he's not your typical young stage hypnotist. He's not some guy right out of college trying to learn it. No, he's got some years on him, but what he's doing with stage hypnotism is very, very funny stage shows. And he's already started to gain a little bit of repetition, a little bit of a reputation as someone who's really good at rapid inductions. Let's welcome to the program, Mr. Terry Bloom. How you doing, Terry?
I'm wonderful, Ray. I appreciate the way you tap dance around the fact that I'm old. And so, yeah, thank you, buddy.
Well, let's get a little bit of story about you. You learned, I mean, let's be honest. You learned hypnosis at what age? I mean, you were a little older.
Yeah, absolutely. I was in my early 60s, and I say that I'm 63 now, but so yes, I learned late in life, and we can talk about that as to why and how I got interested. But yeah, I certainly didn't start out when I was my college age yet.
Yeah, it was with you. You have a whole other career. You're known as a builder, but I mean you had a whole other life before you decided to fall into hypnosis. And you're successful, very successful, Bill. You're successful in your region of the country. Tell us, how did you discover hypnosis, or what made you interested in it?
You know, Ray, I like so many young people, when I was in high school, they brought a hypnotist in, and I thought it was fascinating, and but that was kind of the end of that. But several years ago, I don't know how many, but several years ago, I had a neighbor, and I live in a country where we don't have a lot of neighbors, but a neighbor moved in next door, and he was a psychiatrist who specialized in hypnotherapy. Now, this guy should have been the Dos Equis most interesting man in the world. And him and I would sit and talk for a long time about cases that he had and things. And I just thought it was fascinating. He did zero stage stuff, didn't believe in it. But just all of the different cases that he talked about, I was just fascinated about how the brain works and how we process information. And so at a point in time, I asked Carl if he would teach me how to be a hypnotist. And when he found out I wanted to do stage stuff, he said, absolutely not.
Really?
And go ahead.
He would not help. He said he wouldn't help you because you wanted to entertain people with it.
Absolutely. And his thinking at the time, like a lot of people, he goes, the only thing that stage people do is they try to make people look bad or whatever, make you look like an idiot or something. And I said, well, you know, I don't necessarily think that's true. And we talked about some things about what we could do on stage. And his agreement with me was that if, you know, my plan wasn't just to try to make people look bad, that that he would train me. Well, in part of that, I was going to have to bring five other people with me because, you know, if you're going to learn how to hypnotize people, you got to have people to hypnotize. And I didn't really know how to go to five other people and go, hey, would you like to give up your weekend so I can learn to be a hypnotist? So it just never transpired. And so my life went on, and I do what I do. And several years ago, I guess it's coming up on a little over 6 years ago now, my mother and father live in a small town where I was raised, and they they got in a horrible automobile accident. And so while it took my mother, my dad was not in good shape at the hospital, so their pastor come up to see us. And my dad said, yeah, that's our pastor. And he goes, he's also a hypnotist. Well, that pastor happens to be William Mitchell.
Oh,
and
okay.
So William and I got acquainted through some tragedy or whatever.
Yeah.
And I mentioned to Dad, I go, well, no wonder that the church contributions have been way up since he took over. You know, he could he'd just do the congregation and tell them to boost attendance and everything else. But that's how I became acquainted with William. And over time, him and I talked about it and things. And finally, on a particular time, kind of the same with William, the only way he would agree to train me was if I would go all the way through, become certified. He said there's too many people that don't really know enough about it just to do stage stuff and get themselves in trouble. And that being said, I've actually been sitting with William and have other stage hypnotists call where they'd be doing a show and something would come up that they didn't really get all their training and they weren't sure how to handle it. And so they would call him and go, what should I do? You know? And so I couldn't agree more with him on what he said. But anyway, that's how I got acquainted with him. And so we trained together.
So did you do full, you did William's full NGH training?
I certainly did. And because we were friends going in, I got into it odd. I'd ask him if he would train me, and he said, yeah, but as you said, I have another job, and I'm a pilot, and I move aircraft for people if they need a plane moved for whatever reason, they sold it or they did whatever. And so my time is kind of, it's kind of random when I get off. So William had agreed to teach the class for me on Saturdays so that it would work out better for me. But he said, will you give me some time to build a class, put it together, and we'll get some other people in. So I said, well, certainly, he was trying to help me out with this. So in the meantime, he offered a rapid and an instant induction class in St. Louis, and he told me I should take it. He thought I would find it interesting, and so I drove to St. Louis and trained with Brian Gilbert was down there, and he taught the class, and it was Brian was excellent and fascinating, and if anything, Brian was too good of an instructor, because after watching some of the stuff he did, I left thinking mere mortals could not do what he did. And so, I wasn't sure rapids were for me at the time. So,
which is funny, because now you're known for being, you're known as an expert in rapid inductions.
I left that night thinking this is probably something that mere mortals couldn't do. And William called me and he goes, what'd you think of the class? And I said, I had a ball. I learned a lot. But bearing in mind, I had not done my NGH class yet. This was my only exposure.
Oh, okay.
And thought I would never do this. But as many things in life, sometimes luck is in your favor. And William said, well, I have a show, a college show, tomorrow night. Our class is on a Friday. Saturday night, I have a college show. And he goes, why don't you come there to the show with me? And he goes, we'll have a lot of college students, and you can practice on them. You could do some rapids on them. Now, bearing in mind, I think most of the classes, if you were to take it, there'll be two or three hypnotists in there, and they all want to learn, not necessarily practice on each other. So it's possibly not the best learning environment. And so myself and another guy that was in the class named John, we went to the college with him, and William got us started in the cafeteria. We went in there to meet some of the students, and he introduced himself and said we were going to have a show and did a rapid on a student. And, well, of course, they were fascinated, and several of them wanted to be hypnotized. And so he turned John and I loose on the students in there, and I quickly realized that Brian had taught me so well that, yes, I could do these. And it was fascinating to me. But because I had not done my NGH program yet, that was the only arrow, so to speak, in my quiver. So I found some other guys to train with on rapids. I also knew a couple psychiatrists pretty well. One of them is actually a hypnotist, too. So I spent some time with them learning why rapids work, what it takes to, you know, what parts and pieces are involved in a good rapids. And actually, quite frankly, I couldn't even guess how many of Anthony Gailey's videos. And, you know, you watch and talk and study with enough people, and you start putting some pieces of the puzzle together. And so, so then I just went and started doing rapids everywhere I could. You know, I've hypnotized people at the beach before, at bars, at the iPhone store, at the vitamin store. It's amazing when people find out what you can do. A lot of times they want to be hypnotized, and so yeah. So we just have some fun.
I like the story of I hypnotize people at the iPhone store. They just you get into a conversation with someone, they find out you're a hypnotist, and they have you induce them at an iPhone store.
Usually it ends up not me. Can you do my buddy? You know, and I go, hey, if he wants to be, and yeah, okay, and we'll have to bring you a chair. And about 5 seconds later, they're taking a nap. And so anyway, it's a lot of fun.
You went into it though, always saying I want to do stage stuff. That was how it worked with you.
I do. I love doing stage stuff and making people laugh. But the thing I really enjoy about it, and William and I have talked about this from the get-go, I've often said if I write a book on my life, it'll have to be titled The Luckiest Guy Alive. I've just been so blessed and so privileged with so many facts of my life that I kind of wanted to give back some too. And so when I go to do like a high school or a college or something like that, you know what, I'm always looking for, can I help somebody? Is there somebody here? And I'll give you an example, Ray. I went to the college show in St. Louis, and before the show, a lady come up to me, a young gal in college there, and I said, hey, you going to come to the show? And she goes, I am, but I'd like for you to help me with procrastination. And now, not my best choice of words, I said, yeah, see me later. And I said, oh, wait, no, I mean, see me after the show. I'd be glad to help you. And so after the show was over, she came, and here's where rapids come in handy. And I quickly did a rapid on her. And did some work with her on her procrastination, give her some suggestions that I hope will be helpful for her to try to help her out. Well, while I was doing that, two other students heard this, and then they come to me and they go, we love what you did with this young lady. Will you help us with the same thing? So I was able to do rapids on both of them and also help them out. And that's the part that I really enjoy about what we do. You know, hopefully I can make a little bit of difference in somebody's life. And so anyway, that's what I enjoy, right?
It is, you're, like I say, you know, you got your NGH training eventually from William. You got that. You were doing stage shows. But how did you learn to do stage shows? Was it just watching other people? Did you do a ride along with William, or how did it all come about? How did you learn the process of going on stage as a hypnotist and figuring it all out?
Like many other things in your life, I thought I could just fly by the seat of my pants and fail, or I could try to get some help. And so, I had talked to William a little bit about it. I didn't even realize anybody offered stage internships or what they were. I just thought, you went out and you started doing it and hoped for the best. And he said, no, he offered a stage intern program. And so I said, well, sign me up for that one then. And so, I went with William, and I can't, partially because I think of our friendship, but, he's taught me so much. It's unbelievable. And some of these shows aren't necessarily close. And so that gives you, 2, 3, 4 hours, 5 hours sometimes in a car talking everything, but a lot about, about hypnosis and the shows and timing and, what would be good and what wouldn't be good. Then he's helped me get some shows along the line, but I don't even know. I guess I don't know when his internship ends because I love learning and I love doing stuff with him. And for me, it's not all about the money. And him and I will be talking and he'll say, oh, yeah, I'm going here to do a show. And I'm going, oh, I don't have anything going on that weekend. Hey, you want to ride along? And they go, sure. And so I still go as often as I can and help him with shows. And I hope I'm of some benefit to him. I know we have a lot of fun. He shares a lot of information that we've got now where we can have some fun where I'll go with him and he'll try to meet people. And if they want to be hypnotized, he'll say, well, here, let Perry do a rapid on you, and then he goes on to meet somebody else. And the next thing, when I'm done with them, sometimes I look up and he'll go, this guy here, he wants to try it, or this young lady wants to try it. And so we've developed a wonderful friendship that I value immensely, but he has taught me so much about it and even the ethics of it. When I first started, maybe even before the NGH training or right at the beginning, one of the first things he told me is he goes, you promote hypnotism first and yourself second. He goes, it's always about putting hypnotism in a good light and everything, then yourself. And, and I think that's real important. Obviously, the people that know William know his morals and ethics are high. But he's very big about promoting that also, and if you're going to do it, let's do it properly and let's do it ethically and let's not try to give hypnosis a bad name. And by the way, Ray, last year at Heartland, I had the opportunity to meet so many wonderful people, Michael DeShalit and Salish and Rich Guzzi and all these guys. And, I miss so many of them. Terry Growley up there, so many of them that are just that are the same way. Let's promote hypnotism first, and I enjoy that. I it's fun to be part of a group that's got some high ethical background. So
it is. I mean, you parlayed your friendship with William into training, into stage training. You got even deeper friendship, and like you said, now you're doing stage shows, but you figure, hey, if you can learn something, why not ride with him to go to an, I think that fascinates me because, my background is in radio, and it's sort of the same thing when you get into radio. If you really want to be good, there comes a time when there's nothing more important than your internship. You want an internship that's going to allow you to actually do something. Some of these big market internships, you don't do anything except just watch. And there's nothing wrong with watching, but I'm saying that, there comes a time you have to apply and to see if you know what you're doing. So you're saying with your stage internship, you actually got a chance to do some inductions and actually apply some of the things you had learned.
Absolutely. And it was, we had a lot of fun. We were doing a Christmas show, and I don't know. I've done a few shows with him, but William had come to understand, for whatever reason, I'd been fortunate enough that the Rapids come to me and work very well. And so I'm there to do a Christmas show with him at a particular place, and he brings the people on stage, and he's going through the eyes to see who he's got. And I was standing on beside the stage, and he just motioned for me to come up, and then he tells somebody, he goes, now, you know, sometimes people wonder how quickly somebody could be hypnotized, but he goes, Terry's going to show you how quickly some people can go. Well, just out of the cold, you know, we walk up, I do a rapid on the lady, it worked wonderful, and that kind of wowed the crowd and got them off and got them started. Now, what was funny later on, he told me, hey, I didn't want to, you know, he goes, I would have thrown you under the bus if it didn't work. He goes, you know, I would have said, well, he's a student and he's just learning. And I said, as you well should have, you know, it's your show to get it. But, you know, we've done that several times, and it kind of gets things off to a start. And so, yeah, I mean, he'll get you on stage. I've also been fortunate enough. I don't know. I think I'll be an intern with him forever because I enjoy our friendship and I enjoy always learning. But I've also now I've gone with him when he'll have other interns and maybe I've got a show the next weekend and he'll go, hey, will you take, you know, the intern, will you let him come to your show and help you? And so we kind of trade off, and I help him some with that.
So you've been on the other side of these ride-alongs and stuff where you're the performer and you're teaching someone. That's got to be cool.
It is very cool. And you know, the other thing it does, though, Ray, is you look at the perspective somebody else is bringing, and so that helps me learn. You know, it brings in something sometimes that I never thought about. But it is absolutely fun to see other people come and to try to help them along a little bit. But William always tried to, when he thinks you're ready, he'll get you on stage and, there's nothing like being on stage to get you over the fear of being on stage.
And if
you did an internship and you didn't get on stage or you didn't do anything, well, at least in my estimation, you got shortchanged.
Yeah.
And I guess what I started to say is when we were doing some of these people that, because I'm there with William and we're talking, they will come to his internship having been trained by other people but they never let them get on stage or they never, you know, did some stuff. And you're going, boy, you know, for paying somebody else and going through an internship, they're still pretty raw, you know, and I, you know, you never know if it's them or the training they receive, but I couldn't say enough good stuff about what William has taught me. And part of it, you know, part of it's the student too. You've got to be willing to learn. And William and I taught a rapids class
that's what I want to get to is you've started to become known really well as, you know, the guy who does rapids. And where you hear people say, "Oh, you got to see this guy Terry Bloom do a rapid. It's really blah blah." So you start to build this reputation as a guy doing rapids. And you, I want to bring up, you and William taught a class at Culver Stockton College last year, and I know you're doing it again in 2019, and that is where you have people from all over come and learn rapids, but you guys actually apply it during the conference. Explain to me how that, for anyone listening who is just starting to learn or starting a newer hypnotist or whatever it is, who wants to learn the rapids, explain the process of how this rapid induction class, and that's, I think it's in July. Am I wrong with the month?
It'll be at the end of August.
All right, end of August. Okay.
College starts back up again.
So explain to me how you guys do this rapid inductions class, at least the one at I'm sure there'll be in other places too, but at least the one at Culver Stockton. Explain how it works.
Because of what William giving me the opportunity to come to that school and work with the students, him and I had talked about for some time, for a few months or whatever about what an unbelievable opportunity that is. And in just teaching rapids, you know, you go to a rapids class and you've got, you know, three people, two people, whatever, five people. But you don't get to really just sit there and rapids, we always say they're more like a dance. There are some subtleties, some speed, some timing, some things that are involved. And the only way to learn them is by doing them. And so, you know, and William and I talked about, said, man, this is, this was a great opportunity. I appreciate what you give me, but this needs to be built into a program. This shouldn't just be a one-time thing. This ought to be the way people learn rapids. And so by him and I talking about it, he goes, you know what, why don't we do it? Why don't we go together and we'll teach a rapids class. I'll teach the basic hypnosis, and it'll be we're going to spend a whole day on it, not an hour or something. And he goes, and then him and I together, we'll do the rapids. Well, that gives both of us to work with the students and watch their timing and watch stuff. And so we literally spend the day with you. We take a break, go to eat dinner. We'll come back. We'll go to the cafeteria at the school, like I say, where the students are, and we'll start them off and let the students do rapids there. A lot of times we'll go to maybe to the student union afterwards and do some. And then we say, hey, you know, if you guys are interested in being in the show, come to the auditorium an hour, hour and a half ahead of time, and we'd be glad to work with you. And so then the students there have the opportunity. So, you know, instead of doing one or two rapids and going home going, no, I don't know that I could do that. Literally, I probably, when I went there with him, probably did at least 25 students.
Wow.
And you walk away feeling like, oh, my gosh, you know, this is unbelievable. So the students are the people that we train have the opportunity to do it. Now, we set this class up, and I told William I'd expected to have maybe three, four, five people. And, and maybe we didn't promote it right at first about the opportunity. So he changed it a little bit so that people understood what an opportunity it was. Well, then all of a sudden the classes started filling up, and I'd say, you know, oh, I got more. And finally I'm going, you got to cut it off. You got to stop. I mean, we can't get too many people there because it's, you know, we've got to be able to teach them right. And I think another person or two signed up, and I go, William, shut it down. We can't take any more people. And so he did actually then close the enrollment for the class, and we absolutely had a ball. We had a bunch of fantastic people there from all over the country wanting to learn rapids. And I will touch on one rule, and there's a reason for this. We'll show you some rapids, but William will have one or two rapids that we want you to use on the students. And we've had a couple people come that had taken other ones before, and they were wanting to do, actually we're teaching more instants, and they were trying to do some rapids because they felt comfortable. And he said, you know, go tell them they got to do what we taught them. And he told me his reason for this, and I like this. He said, you know, this is their opportunity to learn what we've taught them. If they're comfortable with something else and they don't use what we taught them today, why did they pay us? Why did they come here?
And
they need to know they can do what we taught them right now.
Yeah, and are you supposed to judge if they're doing it correctly if it's not the one you taught them? You know, I mean, it would be like, if I'm a pitching coach and I teach you how to throw a split finger fastball, a split finger forkball, whatever, the way that I teach it, and you're throwing a different pitch, well, how am I going to judge it? I want you to do what I taught you so that, number one, you get what you pay for, but number two, I can critique you and let you know if you're doing it right or wrong.
And you also end up with confidence.
Yeah.
If you're going to do rapids, you need to know that when I do this, 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 and this, it's going to work. And the only way you get that confidence is by doing it and watching it work over and over again. So if you did not use the techniques that we taught you, and I'm certainly not going to sit here and say, you got to do ours because these are the best techniques in the entire world. You know, these are techniques that are proven, that we know they work. You can watch them work or whatever. But if you don't do them while you're there to build the confidence that you need to know you can go out and do them on your own, and I would say there's a high likelihood you're just not going to do them. You know, you're going to be afraid you'll fail. You'll be like I was. You're going, well, that guy's got special powers. I can't do that. And I have no special powers. So, yeah, it's a great class. It's a wonderful way to learn. And so, yeah, anyway, we're going to do that again this year. They haven't given us the exact date. It's the last weekend in August. I know we turned down some people last year, and they said if you teach the class, I want to be in it. And so if there's schedules there, I know we've already got some people lined up. And, again, we'll limit it because, you know, if you're paying to come to a class, if it's a lecture, you could put 100 people in the hall and lecture to it, but this is not that way. It's hands-on, and so if we're going to take your money, we want to make sure that we do it right, that you learn what, you know, do the very best we can do for you. So,
and anybody interested in that class, it's MitchellInstitute.com. The MitchellInstitute.com is where you can sign up and register for it, and it is – like you said, it looks like it'll be in August, and it's always interesting. Hey, let me ask you, how quick can you induce somebody?
Average person. Yeah. I've got one on my website. A young man come to me, and it was after a show, and I did a standing induction on him, and he lasted maybe 3 seconds.
Yeah, I mean, if you guys,
before heat was out,
anybody listening to this, if you don't believe, I'm telling you, go to Terry's website is hypnotichumor.com. That's hypnotichumor.com. And you can see some of these rapid inductions. It's unbelievable. Like I said, you are primarily a stage hypnotist, but you've worked with, like, my daughter. You hypnotized my daughter. Who we didn't know if she could be hypnotized or not, but I mean, it was like that. it's amazing how fast you are at to induce people.
But it is really about them. I had some fun. I had a guy come to me after a show, and he said, you know, I didn't believe in hypnosis. I didn't think it was real. And he had a young lady was with him that was actually in my show. Now, I don't know if they were friends or I don't know the extent of their relationship. But he said, after watching her, now I don't know. And he said, would you hypnotize me? And then I go, sure. And he sat down. And Ray, when he looked at me, he was already hypnotized. All I had to do was say sleep. I mean, he had already convinced himself that it was there. But so I told him, you know, and I said, well, because he didn't believe it, I'm out here to have some fun, too. And I said, well, I'll do it under one condition. If you promise me, you won't fake it. And he goes, oh, I promise. And, he went under very quickly. But he had already... just the look in his eyes, he had already hypnotized himself.
Oh, that's
he
great.
Was just waiting for me to say sleep. And so, yeah, it's...
Hey, what are you looking forward
to? It can go very quickly.
What are you looking forward to at 2019 Heartland Hypnosis Conference?
The thing I'm looking forward to the most is a few of the people that I met there. And I'd just say Michael DeShalle is one of them. Michael... and I just hit it off, and
Michael's a good guy.
Consider him a very good friend, but I don't, you know, I don't get out there to see him, and to see him again, as I said, I really like helping people, and Michael shared a story with me, and where he was had an impact on a young lady's life, and him and I. that in itself, we kind of had a moment there where I could see, well, Mike's the biggest goofball you'll ever talk to. He's always on. He's always having fun. He's always a cut up. You know, he's just an absolute delight to be around. But when we had that conversation, you saw that underneath this little short, funny guy who's always cutting up is a heart as big as the world. And, you know, so those are the connections that I'm looking forward to saying, hey, you know, how's the last year been? Tell me about your life and that. So that's the first thing that I'm looking forward to. But as always, there's so much talent. There's so much thing. Now, I'll tell you this. I'll share this story with you. William's so busy that he's running all over the place. He doesn't get to attend a lot of the classes. How can he? There's four at a time going
on. Sure, yeah.
So I went last year. A guy was going to help him. He had three shows and was going to help him, and he got the opportunity to go do some work for Jim Wan. And so he bailed. That's probably not the right word. He asked for permission to leave, and William said yes. So he goes, will you go with me? And I go, sure, I'll go help you do the shows. And while we were setting stuff up, I was telling William things about chair placement and stuff like that. And I, you know, I'm still pretty new. And he goes, well, how do you know that? I go, at the conference. That's what these guys were talking about, you know. And so I was able to share things with him that I had learned at his conference because he couldn't attend the stage classes. And so anyway, that was kind of fun and interesting for me to be able to help him in some small way from things that I learned from his conference. So,
you know, you mentioned Jim Wan. Jim's got that pre-conference this year, 2019 Heartland Noses Conference, and that looks really interesting. I would expect that a ton of stage hypnotists are going to be there. But yeah, it's just to plan a whole show, and they're so to creating these killer routines. And I'm telling you, that looks, and I talked to Jim, that's why I'm bringing it up, it's fresh in my mind. I talked to him about it the other day, and it sounds like that's going to be just all kinds of learning and in a really good environment. And that's going to be the Thursday before the conference starts.
He is, Mr. Wan is such a wealth of information that even if there was a conversation going on between, him and Rich Guzzi and Salish or whatever, and if you just get within earshot and have a seat and soak up information like a sponge, you know, and just try to. But, Ray, you know, I William and I talked about this a little bit, and I wouldn't be doing this justice if I didn't bring this up, too. If you're thinking about going to the conference, but I don't know, you know, last year was, you know, because I'm new, last year was my first year there. I didn't know what all I would learn, but I knew as a friend of William, I wanted to go, I wanted to learn, I wanted to see stuff. Here's one thing that amazed me, and I do want to share this. You know, these guys, a lot of the people that are there are, they're top line guys. I mean, these are some of the best in the business. And, you know, you go there and you're going, well, yeah, they're going to give a little talk, but how much will they share? And, you know, they're in the conference, they're going to give you a ton of information. But if you get off to the side with these guys, I never had a single one of them that would ever pull a punch. They'll tell you anything that you want to ask, and I believe as honestly as possible. But the reality comes to this. If you're starting out, you've been there for a while, they want your show. These guys wanted my show to be absolutely the best I could possibly make it. And then I thought, well, why do they want my show? Because, you know, I'm, if you will, in competition against them. Well, the reality is they aren't. They're all from the belief of promoting hypnotism. Now, if I go out and they make my show great and I've got a killer show and somebody calls me and says, hey, Terry, can you do this show? And I say, well, I can't this weekend. I'm booked. They you know, they're going to call somebody else. And if they want Salish to do a show, but Salish says, hey, I need $3,000, they may say, well, that's not in our budget, but we still want a hypnotist. We want somebody good. And so, I mean, it all feeds off of each other. The better show I do, the more work there is for these guys. The better show they do, the more work there is for me. So they are literally going to do whatever they can to make my show and your show as good as it can possibly be, because it promotes hypnotism first and it makes it easier for all of us to work. You know, the worst thing out there is somebody go to a hypnotist that the guy's show bombs, and you know, everybody's going to walk away from there. Oh man, those shows stink. Don't, you know, I wouldn't use that for entertainment, you know? So it really is all about helping each other. We all, I think John Kennedy said, a rising tide raises all boats. And that's certainly the way in our profession. So
I think that's a good place to end that one. Thank you, Terry. Listen, you're a hell of a guy. You're so likable. And your rapid inductions are so impressive. It really, anybody, you know, anyone who is who's at Heartland, if you see Terry, you've got to have a conversation to him. You got to have a conversation with him about these rapid inductions. He's not joking. It's 3 seconds. Boom. What he does is something special. And it's a pleasure to talk to you about it. And to hear your stories of how you how you became an intern and you did these ride-alongs and all, and how much it helped you. It's astonishing. And I just hope that everybody goes out there and does it. And you even talked about Jim Wan's a pre-conference class for Heartland. And it's been great talking to you. And I really appreciate it, my friend. Terry Bloom, everybody.
Hi, Ray. Ray, if you've got time, I want to tell you one William Mitchell story.
Oh, are you kidding?
Have you got time?
I'd love. Let me plug your website first. Terry Bloom is hypnotichumor.com. Check out some of these videos. And, of course, the website for Heartland Hypnosis Conference is heartlandhypnosisconference.com. All right, give me one more good William Mitchell story, Terry Bloom.
All right. Well, thanks for the plug, first of all. But, you know, as I told you, William and I have got to be great friends. And the one thing I do enjoy is being able to help people. Now, if I do a show, a lot of times, you know, I'll call William if it's not too late, or if it is late the next day or something, and I'll say, oh, you know, man, this really went good. This went good. This not as much as I want, and we'll talk about it. And I, you know, he's gained enough respect for me that, you know, I may tell him on his shows, we'll talk about some stuff, and I'll say, well, did you ever think about this? Or, you know, I'll never tell him what to do, but I will tell him maybe some things. Well, I love, as I said, I love helping people. But if it's late, when William and I, neither one are getting any younger, so, you know, after 9:30, 10 o'clock, we generally don't call each other. Well, I knew he had a show. It was a college show. I don't know how late it was, maybe 11 o'clock one night. I get a phone call, and I look, and it was William, which was unusual for him to call me that late. But he had had a show, and after his show, he did not call me to say I had a good show, I had a bad show, people laughed, whatever. He had a young lady come up to him, and she had been in chronic pain her whole, well, at least for 10 years, at least for 10 years. And she said, can you help me with my pain? And William said, sure. And so he did a rapid induction on her, and he helped her with her pain. When she come up, the young lady started crying. And first he thought, why is she crying? And she said, oh my gosh, it's the first time in 10 years I have been pain free. So her girlfriends were with her, and they all started crying because they were so happy that he was able to help this girl. And he was so delighted that even at night he called me. This was the story that he wanted to share with me about how excited that he was that he was able to help this young lady. And he goes, all I could say is God bless you. God bless you. He goes, it was so wonderful. And he was, he was like a high school kid again. He was so excited that he was able to help this young lady. And so I think it's a little funny when him and I, we share stories about our shows, what could be better, what could there. But the one time he calls me late at night, nothing to do with the show, he was able to touch somebody's heart and make a difference in the world. And so anyway, if you know William, you know that. But I don't think you'll be mad for sharing that. But I think that's a wonderful story. And that tells you a little bit about the guy that I did my internship with.
It's a great story. It really is. Listen, I highly advise anyone wanting to get into stage hypnosis to try out a ride-along, try out an internship, get to really know what you're doing and have access. Like Terry says, an internship really never ends. When you have access to call someone and just, shoot the proverbial you-know-what and, have conversations and talk about your gigs and things like that. That's a priceless thing that you can get. So I just want to put that out there. If you want to do a ride along or an internship, it's available at HeartlandHypnosisConference.com. Terry Bloom, I thank you, my friend. It is a pleasure to speak to you. Like I said, full disclosure, Terry has hypnotized my daughter and helped her. She was having trouble going to sleep and literally hypnotized her and put on her phone an induction that to where when she has those nights where she just can't sleep, even today, she will turn on her phone to the recording labeled Terry Bloom, and it literally will get her the sleep she needs, or relax her to the point to where she can get the sleep she needs. And it is invaluable. And anybody out there as a parent, you know how important that is. So it is such a pleasure to speak to Terry Bloom today. My friend, it has been an honor, and I will talk to you soon.
Thank you, Raven. I appreciate it. And your daughter is such a wonderful young lady. It was more than my pleasure to work with her. She's a top, top quality young lady. So my best to her.
It is Terry Bloom, my guest on today's Heartland Hypnosis Radio. I'll be back again with another guest soon, so make sure to check it out here at HeartlandHypnosisConference.com. It is Heartland Hypnosis Radio. So long, everybody.